We turn to the Word this evening and to the Gospel according to John, where we read from John chapter 1, the first 18 verses, which is on page 1063 in the Pew Bibles. The Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Then came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testifying concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to do that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." Amen. Thanks be to God for the reading of his word. We sing again, this time the hymn, "Lord, you sometimes speak in wonders unmistakable and clear." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Our scripture reading for tonight, the first 18 verses of chapter 1 of the Gospel according to John, summarizes how the Word became a human being in order to show God's glory and grace. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Above the gateway entrance to St. Mary's College in St. Andrews are the words, now forgive my Latin pronunciation, "Principio erat verbum." In the beginning was the Word. The inscription over the gateway reminds those who enter it of the message of John. God in Christ was present. Unlike all the other writers of Matthew, Luke and Mark, John does not begin in the traditional story. He begins, "In the beginning was the Word." So as we stand here at the gateway to another year, "In the beginning was the Word" is another way to reflect upon this, the second Sunday after Christmas. and the first Sunday after Epiphany. One of the other features of this prologue in John's Gospel is the image of light. The light of Jesus comes to bring us not only sight, but also insight. Our reading for today speaks about the light shining in the darkness, and that the darkness has never overcome it. The light has come into the world, and whilst it illuminates all, not all choose to see it or to see by it. When the Gospel was being written, not everyone chose to see Christ as the light of the world and to follow him. And perhaps that can be said the same of our world today. But as Christians, we are called to shine our light into the lives of others, those whom we know and those who we don't know. Shining our light is about making a mark, making a difference, and it's also about ignoring the negative opinions of others and about being positive, a positive influence in our world. That is what we are called to do. I think as I have become older, light has been more important to me, whether it just be putting on lights so that I can see where I'm going at home, or looking forward as we move into the springtime where we see a couple of minutes extra light every day. And I'm beginning to look for that light now that we've really passed the shortest day and we're moving forward. Light has always been important within our church. Some churches use candles as light for symbols of all different things. There's a story about a Methodist church. At this time of year, light becomes so important, and it was very important for them because the darkness on a Sunday evening came before their service was over. The Lantern Saints, as they were called, were a group of early Methodists who lived on the North Yorkshire moors. They had a meeting place on one of the highest points of the moor, at Trough House, at the head of Fryup Dale. And people came from the outlying farms and hamlets, from the dales of Westerdale, Dandydale, Farndale, Glassdale, Rosedale, and Great and Little Fryup. It made Trough House look like the centre of a web that spread out into each moorland valley. Often in the winter, they struggled up to the moorland height, and there they met in a shuttered room, peeping out the elements. As each family entered, they would light their lantern, a good symbol of receiving the light of the Gospel and the light of Christ. Once the service was over, they would set off in every different direction. You could see the light that they had received, and they carried it with them, travelling in each dale to their farms and their homes. From that light, they would see in the dark and light other lights. This was a symbol of their faith. They not only carried the light to see on their way home, but they carried their faith out to everyone. Another dimension of our reading for today is that the world did not at that time recognise Jesus and did not receive him. Again, it is true perhaps of our own time. But as we approach the end of the Christmas season, it may seem inconceivable that the gift that God offers will remain unopened and unappreciated. But we know that this can be the case. It has been written that God never coerces belief in himself. He invites it. He invites folk to believe that the Word was made flesh in Jesus Christ and made his dwelling among us. I believe that that is certainly the case. Each of us choose to believe and to follow our Lord, perhaps each of us having our own understanding of why Jesus came. The astronaut James Irwin is one of only 12 men to walk on the moon. He went into space with Apollo 15. And as he stood upon the lunar landscape and looked up at the Earth, it is reported that he prayed for the first time in his life. He thought about the strife among nations, the poverty, the hunger, and rampant evil. And he thought to himself, what is more important than man walking on the moon is that God should have walked on earth. Now that's a very different way of thinking about it, and it certainly is food for thought. Today, on this, the second Sunday of the year of our Lord 2023, we acknowledge that Jesus is God, come to earth, and that he rules both in heaven and on earth. Emmanuel. Jesus is not just for Christmas. He is for every day. Today, tomorrow, and every day of our lives. God comes to our homes. The incarnation reveals God's love and compassion for us, moving in next door to wherever we may be. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. All glory be to him. Amen. We pray now for our world. Let us pray. Lord God, we bring before you our world, a world that is vulnerable and fragile. We bring before you those whose lives are torn by war, whose days are marred by destruction and devastation, those who live in our world, a world that is never at peace. We remember those whose homes have been destroyed by climate change. We hope and pray that the nations of the world will come together to work towards a better future for all. We pray for the influence of your Holy Spirit in the troubled places of our world. Loving and living God, as we ask for your love and guidance in the farther away places of our world, we bring before you now those nearer to home, those who find no peace in their lives, those whose relationship have broken down, those who have suffered alienation through addiction that results in hopelessness. We pray for all who this day are bearing heavy burdens, those facing the economic difficulties that surround us right now, those who can see no solutions, wrestling with inner fears and racked by anxiety for themselves and those they care for. We pray for all who are caught up in the strife of our own country, those who seek the services of our strained National Health Service, those for whom help is being delayed and waiting is causing stress and strain. We pray for those known to us for whom we have a care this evening. Those who are ill, those who are troubled in mind, and those who grieve this day. Hear our prayer as we remember them in the stillness of our hearts. Eternal God, watch over them and guide their steps today and always. Lord God, we bring before you our church at a time of change. Be with those who are charged with the management of that change, opening minds to new concepts. We remember those who have gone before us, faithful to our church, and are now at home in the kingdom of God. Gracious God, we bring before you our world, firm in the knowledge that you hear our prayers, spoken in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer. Amen.